Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today's readings from Scripture, from both the Hebrew Bible and from the Gospel, are rich and powerful. And I suspect you've heard snippets of these readings before. The closing lines of Isaiah are beloved by many people in the church. We're talking about the ancient ruins that will be rebuilt, and that we will raise up foundations of many generations. We should be called repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. And that is often taken as marching orders for Christians who are involved in housing efforts. The readings from Matthew also has some familiar passages and some imagery that is very resonant. So who hasn't heard about being salt of the earth? I had debated doing something with salt right now, but I decided I didn't want to waste any salt. And you've all used salt within reason, right? Because we're supposed to watch our sodium intake. Yeah. But the fact is, we like salt on our food. And the companies that sell us potato chips and snacks and frozen foods often put lots of sodium and salt into them. But the other phrase here that I think resonates and I want to focus on as I go between both the Hebrew Bible and the Gospel is a city on a hill. Now, who here remembers Ronald Reagan talking about the city on the hill? So people here were not paying attention to politics in the 1980s, because Reagan talked about that a lot, and it was not his phrase. City on a Hill first cropped up in the American story back in 1630. John Winthrop used that phrase in a sermon he preached in the Arabella, off in Massachusetts Bay, and it was part of what he was calling his community to live for. The early Puritans and the Pilgrims wanted to be separated from what they saw as a decadent polity in England. And they came here to establish a community that would live to certain standards. And there was good in that, but we know that the story is complicated. And the problem with phrases like being a city on a hill is that, yes, we want to do that. We want to be exemplary. That's why our kids are out front right now. And I hope no one has any issues with that, because if you've got a problem with kids holding up signs that say, be kind, you've got a problem. But it's one thing to feel good about what we're doing. It's another thing to chest beat, to say, I'm better than everyone else. And those people are messing up. And unfortunately, that's something we in the church do too often. Think about it. I'm going to share a front page of a section from the New York Times with you. And it's from the business section. And it says, to fix a problem like homelessness in America, you need to know its scope. To do that, you need sheriffs, social workers, volunteers, flashlights, and 10 days in January. 582,000 462 and counting. So this was part of the annual count of the homeless that takes place in this country every year. And you may wonder, why am I talking about this right now? What does that have to do with Scripture? Isaiah would tell us everything. It has everything to do with Scripture. And it has everything to do with what Jesus preached. Nan talked about whether Jesus' teachings were political. Jesus was political. Being a person of faith involves being political. And I'm not saying you need to go out and sign up with the Moral Majority or some abortion rights group. Those are causes people can discuss, but that is not the core of our faith. The core of our faith is trying to usher in the kingdom of God. The core of our faith is taking care of one another. Now, who wanted to go outside yesterday? No hands are going up. I appreciate that honesty. My phone told me it was 31 degrees below zero with the wind chill factor at 7 in the morning, if I remember correctly. It was worse. No, not today. Yesterday. It was worse on Mount Washington. Now, you're all good New Hampshire people, so you know that it's always colder on Mount Washington. And I saw a headline that said it was 109 degrees below zero on Mount Washington yesterday. That is the temperature you would encounter on the surface of Mars. The researchers on Mount Washington were able to be up there because they've got a good, sturdy facility, they have warm clothing. But what about people here in the community who don't have access to that kind of clothing or that kind of shelter? We have people in our community here in the Upper Valley who are sleeping in fields, in the woods, beneath bridges. These are our brothers and sisters. They're not some strange people from some other place. They're our neighbors. And they may be the people who clean our bathrooms or work in the restaurants where you get some food. They are our brothers and sisters. Now, I don't want anyone in this church to feel bad about what we do. We spend a lot of money on mission and social action priorities every year. And that's good. But think about, is it a sacrifice? Are we really giving up a lot? Last year, we hosted the Little House. You may remember that was parked at the back of our parking lot. No skin off our teeth. Occasionally, the residents came in to make use of our kitchen facilities or our bathrooms. But Brian, I believe, will agree with me. They were polite and generally good folks to have around. That wasn't any kind of sacrifice. And I remember getting a letter from the city saying we needed to get rid of the Little House because it was in violation of some ordinance. I don't know who called to complain. If you think about it, our neighbors are the dead in the cemetery, the people who park in the fire station lot, and the folks benefiting from the services at Headrest. It may have been someone in the city who just decided that we needed to follow the rules. What kind of imposition was that Little House on the community? I had a long conversation with the city about this, and they were arguing, well, doing things piecemeal like this is not the way to go. We need to deal things societally. And my response was, we've been talking about that for 50 years. Better to take care of someone's problem than to do nothing for anybody. And it would be great if we could have little houses throughout the Upper Valley. Is that really going to be the solution to homelessness? No, it's not. The market is very complicated. You know that. You've got houses, apartments, you're paying rent, you're paying a mortgage, the bills go up. There are a lot of people in this country. But we've got 580,000 who are unhoused. And that's what God cares about. If you're thinking, well, I go to church, I watch the service on Zoom, that's great. And worship is important. But God notices what we're doing the rest of the week and who we're caring for and what our priorities are. God doesn't care if you come to church and then you go out and abuse people. God doesn't care if you come to church and you go out and get into fights. God doesn't care. God doesn't need us. That is a fundamental fact of life. God does not need our sacrifices. God does not need our worship. But God wants our worship because God wants to be in relationship with us. Now, I have no idea why God wants to be in relationship with us. I know I can be cranky. I suspect you have your moments too. And humans have done a lot of great things. But we've also done some really stupid things. And we continue to do them. That is not what God wants from us. That is not what God wants for us. So I really appreciate Betsy's reading the lessons this morning. And she veered away a little bit from using a good Bible voice. You know, you're all taught to read scripture politely. You articulate the words, but you don't really infuse it with any emotion. So Isaiah would have, I don't want to say be yelling as he said these words, but there would have been anger. What are you doing? Isaiah was a member of the leadership circles in Judah. He knew all the people in power. He was part of that community, and he saw how they were failing. And we know what happened to Judah. We know how Judah was ultimately exiled. We know that Israel was ultimately wiped off the face of the earth. If we don't take care of ourselves, if we don't function as a community where we value one another, we're not going to endure. That's a lesson of history. We've seen this story over and over and over again. Are we paying attention? Are we doing anything? Or are we just sitting here feeling, okay, I went to church. I listened to Steve rant. I sang some good hymns. And I went home. Think about it. I'm going to make a pitch for Mission Social Action. And thank you, Corinne, for being on that committee. It would be nice if we had some other folks join. And we've got, and Wendell, too. But this is something that everyone can be involved with, whether you want to become a formal member of the committee or you want to support its work. That is part of your religious life. Think about that. God cares about that. God cares about who you vote for. God cares about what you support. God is going to care what you're thinking about. And over the next week or so, this country's attention is going to be focusing on a really big event. The Super Bowl. So important that I think it's Tennessee, is considering dropping Columbus Day from its list of annual holidays and replacing it with Super Bowl Monday. And you say, well, what the heck's that about? Super Bowl's on a Sunday. Well, it's such a big deal. It's a one time in this country. We all come together. Right. And next week, I will bore you with statistics about how much money we spend on junk food during a stewardship moment. But it is a frighteningly large amount of money. Does anyone here really care about the Super Bowl, other than our former resident of Philadelphia? Are there any Kansas City natives here? Well, you should be rooting for another team. But really, is this what we should be focusing on? And I'll watch the game. And I'll enjoy the commercials. And I will not be motivated to go out to change my insurance provider. And I'll enjoy watching the puppy bowl. But is this what we should be focusing on? Is this what is going to help us to be a city on a hill, to share our light with the nations? Think about that. I remember hearing a sermon about this many years ago. And frankly, I don't remember what was preached. But I remember the pastor talking about the light and the salt and wanting to share it and to let the light go out everywhere. So this is a good room. We can cast light to the nations. But what are we illuminating? What are we doing? That's what we need to think about. So yes, I want you all to be good salt. I really want to be good salt. Think about how salt has, in some ways, improved your life. Salt used to be such a precious commodity that soldiers in the Roman army were paid in salt. Salt was very important to preserve food. Salt continues to be a staple in our kitchens. We're fortunate we've got kitchens. We're fortunate we are part of a community that has a kitchen of its own. But think about all we could do beyond what we've got. We can think about people in the community who need to be fed, who need to be housed. And if we are going to be raising up a light to this community, I hope it would be to continue along the lines that we do work people appreciate. I was at a reception last week, not at the church, and someone asked me what I did, and I told them, and she said, "Oh," with a big smile, "I really appreciate what your church does." Now, this person doesn't come to church here, but she knows we've hosted concerts for the Music Center. And it's that activity that supports the wider community that is a core function of the church. Yeah, I would love everybody to come here for worship on Sunday mornings. I came to the concert last week, and it was great to see the sanctuary packed. And everybody was there to listen to great Baroque music. But what kind of community is being formed? What kind of community is being sustained? And so I'm going to ask you to go out and talk to your friends about the church. Invite them to come on a Sunday morning. Because all the literature has shown over and over and over again, people go to church because someone they know and trust invites them. That's you. You all are the light. And when you got a light, you don't want to hide it. So I invite you to share it with your friends. We used to have a member of this church who actually had fish printed on her checks. You know, you've seen that little fish that some people put in their cars? I thought, wow. That didn't seem very UCC to me. And frankly, I don't like that kind of symbolism. I don't wear a cross. But I thought, good for her. Good for her. So, I'm not going to say this all over again. But I do think it's really worth spending some time with Isaiah and his attitude, and then looking at Matthew. And remember that Jesus was inspired by Hebrew scripture. It was the only Bible he knew. And everything Jesus preached and taught and worried about was stuff that Isaiah had been preaching and teaching about hundreds of years before. We don't get it. We need to be told over and over and over again. Care for your neighbors. Care for our community. I'll get a little modern. Care for our planet. We have been made stewards of a lot. Do you like knowing you've got that responsibility? Because no one else is going to take care of these things. It's up to you. So, you can be good salt. Or you can be the salt that's thrown away. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be disposable. And I don't want to look at anybody as being disposable. I hope you feel the same way. And I hope you'll work to build the kind of world that God would like. Would you please join me in prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the gifts of Scripture, for prophets like Isaiah and Jesus. We thank you for all they taught and did for us, and we pray that we have the wit and the wisdom to follow their examples. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.